No other is the sweet as Jesus. No one ever cares so much for me as to share his precious blood to save.
Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the epistle we read Friday night as we began the service. I love the reading of God's Word. The Lord has a message for the church this morning, and He has chosen this human vessel to deliver His message to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, furthermore then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Are you pleasing God? Paul says, be more pleasing. Praise the Lord. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, and as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Verse 1, the last line, so ye would abound more and more. Verse 10, the last line, that ye increase more and more. Good, better, best, someone said. Never let it rest till your good becomes better and your better becomes best. Let's talk a few moments this morning about the increase of love. But before we talk about the increase of love, I think we all recognize that there is a prominence of the decrease in love in our world today. You have experienced it, and I have experienced it. Can you picture the young couple madly in love walking up the aisle, longing to fall into each other's arms, longing for that warm and tender embrace, that kiss to be placed by the groom upon the face of the bride? Can you picture them walking up here, anxious to be together, anxious to be married? They're in love. There's nothing wrong. They're in love. They want to be together. They love each other. She loves him. He loves her. They've talked it over. They decided that they are in love and they should get married and spend the rest of their lives loving each other. What happens? What happens in so many cases when years later, not this pastor so much, but many pastors have had this experience where they have 1 year performed the wedding ceremony for two people madly in love, and a year or two or three or five or 10 or 15 years later, the same people are back for counseling from the same pastor. So the pastor begins to talk to the young couple. And the man says, well, I just don't love her anymore. We might as well get a divorce. I don't love her anymore. Well, I'll tell you what I tell people like that. And we've had people tell us that as we have dealt with problems and counseled with people. You have no choice in the matter, mister. It is not an option. It is not a mere suggestion. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. And if you don't love your wife, you are transgressing the commandment of God, and you are guilty, and you are going to stand before the judgment bar of God one day and give an account.
Praise the Lord.
Come to me for counseling. I'll love you. But I'll give you the Word of God. And the Word of God will help you. Where this fictitious love, or whatever it is that's being passed for genuine love, is not getting the job done today. Husbands, you are commanded to love your wives. Don't come to me and say, I don't love her anymore. I'll tell you to get with it and fall in love with your wife. You mean you can't love her? No, you can't, unless God helps you.
God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, and you can't do it unless God Almighty helps you. You remember your former life. You remember how you wanted to serve God, you wanted to love Him, but other things got in the way. And they kept you from loving Him like He wanted you to love Him and like you may really have wanted to love Him in some cases. You needed Jesus to come into your heart and life so that you could fulfill His commandment. And when a man says, I don't love my wife anymore, or a woman says, I just don't love my husband anymore, you are in disagreement with God and His Word. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. There should not be a decrease of love in a marriage. There should be an increase of love. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more about the problems that the world is having today. They are having problems because they do not know Jesus Christ and the power of His love. Amen? Oh, yes, that's the problem. You'll find it every time. You know, a lot of people are afraid to make new friends because they have been hurt so many times before by their old friends that they're afraid to make new friends lest that friendship end in chaos the way that their former friendships ended. And so they live like hermits. They stay to themselves. They're afraid to mingle with people. They don't really care about a lot of fellowship, even among Christians. Now, there's something missing in our Christian experience when we can only love somebody until we find a fault in their life, and then the love goes down. I love you, brother. Today, tomorrow comes. I love you, brother. Did he do that? Oh, brother. I thought you were a Christian. Isn't that the attitude of a lot of people? It really is. They'll love you dearly until they can find a fault in your life, and then that friendship, that love, decreases. Brethren, these things ought not to be. In fact, we ought to accept it as a challenge to reciprocate the love that Jesus Christ has shown toward you and me. I'll say amen to that. I love you, brother. You offended me. You made a mistake. I forgive you, brother, because He forgave me. I have an opportunity now to show the love of Christ in my life. In fact, I better be careful now, but thank you for the opportunity. Sure, I hope you grow up in the Lord. Sure, I hope you mature. But nevertheless, since it did happen, thank you for the opportunity to show the love of Jesus. What is the love of Jesus? He forgave us. We need to forgive one another. We should not love until we find a fault in somebody and then have a decrease in love. We should love even though we find a fault in someone and have an increase in love. My, it's quiet in here. Oh, praise the Lord anyhow.
Praise the Lord.
He loved us anyhow, and we need to love one another anyhow. Amen, amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in the radio and I believe in the television for preaching the gospel. But I think the Lord has somewhat against a person who would become a radio Christian or a TV Christian. And by that I mean limiting his radio programs and his TV viewing to religious programs. Follow me now. You take the radio Christian and the TV Christian, such as I just described. He doesn't go to church. I'm going to sit right home and watch my gospel program on TV. I don't like to go to church because somebody's always rubbing my fur the wrong way. And when I watch TV, that doesn't happen. I can listen to the radio and I can watch these gospel programs on TV, and I don't have the problem with the people. Did you ever stop to think that the Lord is very wise and that you and I are diamonds in the rough? We are His jewels, but we're very rough. We're very crude. We have a lot of rough spots on us. And the Lord wants to smooth those rough spots out. So He, being so wise, He just puts us all together and shakes us up a little. And we're in there rubbing and saying, stop it, quit it. It hurts. Ouch. The friction, the smoke. The fire sometimes. Well, when we were kids, we used to find us some stones. We take the two stones, one in this hand, one in this hand, or we'd lay one down and we'd take another one and we'd rub those stones together. How many of you ever did that? Sure, a lot of you did. You're just like me. We rub those stones together. My, there was friction. There was friction there. You could lay one stone upon another and it wouldn't stay. It would roll off. You know? It wouldn't balance there. A little wind would come along and just blow it up, blow the two stones into separation. We would rub and rub and rub and rub and rub and rub. And sometimes those stones would get so hot that we'd have to set them down and let them cool off a little while. Come on, stones. Come on, stones. We are lively stones, the Bible says. And the Lord is trying to fit us together because He's building a house. How does He fit us together? He gets you and me up there and He rubs us. Rubs us one against the other. Sometimes we get so hot that He sets us apart for a while and lets us cool off. But He's going to bring you back together because you must be smoothed. You must be smoothed. Amen?
Amen.
You can't. The Lord doesn't want. He wants you, yes, but He doesn't want you to remain a diamond in the rough. I just can't work with that Christian. One person may say, I just can't work with that Christian. I just can't get along. Our personalities clash. Well, a wise pastor or a wise Sunday school superintendent might say, well, that's right where you belong. You belong together until you become so smooth from rubbing together that you fit together and you can be used in the church. You will not blow off the pile, as it were, but you will fit, and God is building a house. How many people can only love until there's a little friction and then their love decreases? It spirals down, down, down. Brethren, these things ought not to be. We ought to be able to clash personalities. We ought to be able to see the faults in our fellow man and let love cover a multitude of sins. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Peter said, above all things. But I'm a good Sunday school teacher. But I'm a good assistant pastor. But I'm a good pastor. But I'm a good young people's leader. But I'm a good secretary. Fine. But above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. I pay my tithe. I come to church faithfully. Fine, wonderful, you are to be commended. But above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Then when I look at you, and when you look at me, and we see each other's faults, you know what we really see? We see an imperfect human being that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And instead of seeing and picking on and criticizing the faults in the other person, we look at them and we see the blood of Jesus that has them covered. And our love covers a multitude of sins. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. We need to love beyond finding a fault in someone else. A decrease in love is actually opposite of the scripture. A decrease in love is the reason we have divorces in the world today. A decrease in love, opposition to the scripture. A decrease in love is the reason that we have church trouble and church splits. Because people have never learned to love one another like they should love one another. They have never learned to overlook another person's fault. They have never learned to pray for the person. I like what Brother Besh said yesterday. He says, "Brother, if you see a fault in me, don't tell your neighbor, tell my father. He'll deal with me." That's good. That's good advice. Don't tell your neighbor. Tell your father. If you tell your neighbor, you know you're wrong. You know your spirit's wrong. You know your attitude is wrong. You know you have a lack of understanding. But when you tell it to Jesus and let Jesus deal with your wife, your husband. You know, that reminds me of the scripture that's brought up so many times by men. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. When the husbands read that, it's just like they're going like this. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Come on, honey, submit. No, we've got it wrong. We've got it all wrong. Listen to me. The Bible didn't say, husbands, bring your wives in under submission. The Bible is not talking to the husband when it says, wives, submit yourselves. The Bible is talking to the wives. Husbands, you have nothing to do with it.
Praise the Lord.
Stay out of it. You are not supposed to bring your wife into submission. The Bible says, wives, that's none of your business. You're reading somebody else's mail. Wives, you do this voluntarily. You do it because you believe the book. You do it because you love the author of the book. You do it because it's right before God. Did Jesus beat you into submission? Or did he love you into submission? He loved me into submission. I'm a Christian today because of his love and his forgiveness. How about you?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I don't see anybody here so badly bruised that they just had to become a Christian lest the Lord slew them. Oh no. The Lord loved you into submission. Husbands, we are supposed to love our wives into submission. But the problem today is love until you see a fault. And you just can't cope with that. And so you have a decrease in love. Love your wives is not an option. Remember that. It is a commandment. If you don't, you better fast and pray until you do, because you need help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to love everybody. I like what Brother Besh said again yesterday. He had a pastor friend that came and preached for him, and they went into a supermarket. And this pastor friend of his is a soul winner because he has the love of God in his heart. And he saw a 350-pound woman. That was the estimated weight. She said, Brother Besh said, she must have tipped the scales around 350. He said his pastor friend walked up to her and put his arm around her and said, "Lady, you are fat." And she looked at him and he said, "But I love you. I love fat people." And before it was over, that woman poured her heart out to this preacher, told her about her family problems and everything else. And he was witnessing. She was unoffended because he loved her. Do you love fat people? Do you love skinny people? Do you love tall people? Do you love short people? Do you love handsome people? Do you love ugly people? That's love, when you love them all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want that kind of love working in my life. I want to be able to walk into a supermarket and put my arm around anybody and say, "I love you." You know, it's very easy for us to say, "Jesus loves you." We can say that with boldness and confidence because we know it's true. But how many of us can walk up and say, "I love you"? I love you. That's what we need to say. I probably already have the city of Eau Claire wondering what lives over there when businessmen call up and I answer the telephone, "Praise the Lord, Jesus loves you." Sometimes, you know, if I changed it to "Praise the Lord, I love you," I don't know what they'd think. Whatever they think, I want it to be the truth. This world needs a demonstration of real genuine, compassionate love. This world today is starving for love. Oh, praise the Lord. Excuse me. I said this world is starving for love today. Let me read an account of an experiment that was made by Frederick II. Conducted an experiment in the 13th century with 50 infants. He wanted to see what language the children would speak if they never had the opportunity to hear the spoken word. To accomplish this dubious research project, he assigned foster mothers to bathe and suckle the children, but forbade them to fondle, pet, or talk to their charges. The experiment failed because all 50 infants died. Hundreds of more recent studies indicate that the mother-child relationship during the first year of life is apparently vital to the infant's survival. An unloved child is truly the saddest phenomenon in all of nature. And an unloved Christian is about the saddest phenomenon in all the church. Unloved. Unloved. Afraid to love because someone might see a fault in their life and not love them anymore. And we can't stand that embarrassment. Oh, saints of God, I'm going to keep preaching love in this church. Amen. Until we love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Until we can have personality clashes and still love one another. Until we can see faults in one another and still love one another. Because we know that the Lord Jesus has forgiven us our transgressions. We also must. We have no choice. We must, with a pure heart, forgive them also. Listen to these verses in Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Paul said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, what Paul is revealing here is not the root cause. He is revealing the surface problems. He is listing the surface problems. He hasn't gotten yet to the root cause for these surface problems. Listen, bitterness. What is bitterness the result of? That's a surface problem that indicates a deep root cause. Wrath, a surface problem indicating a deeper root cause. Anger, clamor, evil speaking. Where does all of this evil speaking, this bitterness, this wrath, anger, and clamor come from? The next verse takes us to the root cause. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know why some people are bitter, have wrath, show anger? Why some people speak evil of others? Because they have never understood and they have never practiced forgiveness. They don't know what it means to forgive. You know what you and I are? By nature, sinners. Enemies of God. The Bible says we are enemies of God. You know what he did about it? He loved us and he forgave us. As his enemies, he forgave us. As unlovely things, he forgave us. Do you have some enemies? Do you have some unlovely people that you know? There's an answer. There is a cure. The cure is forgiveness. Love. Forgive one another, even as he, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to love one another, to forgive one another. And this world needs a demonstration of genuine love and forgiveness. Praise the Lord. We love him. Here's the basis, the basics. We love him because I taught my children this from childhood up. If anybody asks you why you love Jesus, you can say, I love him because I have a house to live in. I love him because my parents love me and they're Christians. I love him because I have food to eat. I love him because I have clothes to wear. And I agree with them. That's wonderful. You should love him for that. You should thank him for that. But the very primary reason that you should love him and the reason you do love him is because he first loved you. That's why. And I said this to some friends recently, that we were so ignorant of that fact that the Lord had it recorded in the book so we could understand it. That the reason we love him really is because he first loved us. You see, if we do not understand that we have been forgiven of our sins, we don't really love him in the depth that we are supposed to love him. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
But oh, when you begin to realize, appropriate, understand, appreciate the forgiveness of your sins, you fall in love with Jesus. When you look at a Christian that doesn't have the joy of the Lord, he's got bitterness in his heart. These things that you see on in his life and on his face are only surface problems indicating a root cause. Jesus loves every one of us here this morning. He wants every one of us to know that he has forgiven and is willing to forgive us of all of our sins and trespasses against him. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What are you doing about your marriage today? Are you enduring it or are you enjoying it? God bless you. What are you doing about your religion today? Are you enduring it or are you enjoying it? Praise the Lord. Did you know that you can have a marriage that you can enjoy? Did you know that there's a religion that you can enjoy? You don't have to put up with it, tolerate it, endure it. I think we misunderstand the scripture when it says, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." I don't think it means that you're going around like this. How you doing, brother? I'm enduring it. I'm enduring it. That's not what it means.
Amen.
That's the way some married people go around. They're enduring their marriage. We don't need to endure our marriage. We can enjoy our marriage. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth, the wise man said. Rejoice! Evil days are coming. Rejoice now when you have rejoice in the 7 years of plenty. Like we heard this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another." I heard a tape from the UPC convention in Indianapolis that was held just a week or two ago by a sermon by Douglas Davis. And he quoted that scripture or read that scripture. I wasn't there. I don't know which. I heard it over the tape. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you have love one to another." Oneness Pentecostals, let me warn us this morning. We better be careful that we don't establish some other method by which, or some other criteria by which, the world knows that we are his disciples. And Douglas Davis stood before that convention and he said, "The Bible does not say, by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, shall all men know that you are my disciples." He went on and he said, "It does not even say that by the name of Jesus or being baptized in his precious name is the thing by which people will know that you are my disciples." He said, "That is not those things that indicate that you are his disciples, but by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." You can be baptized in Jesus' name a million times. You can talk in tongues every day. But if you don't have love one for another, you are hellbound. That's what the scripture teaches. Because if you forgive not your brother his trespasses against you, God Almighty said, "I'll never forgive you." And if you go try to go to heaven unforgiven, you are going to be embarrassed. Oh, we need to love one another. Praise the Lord. I just feel like running down here and just hugging people. I love you. I love you. I love you. Praise the Lord. I love you. I love you. We need the love of God in our hearts. We need to stand together and love one another. Forget these little differences that you might have. Forget those little faults that you see in your husband or your wife or your fellow saint. Love one another.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise
the Lord has called us to love. Oh, we're one that's Pentecostal. We've got the Godhead right. The Bible doesn't say that's how the world will know.
Amen.
That you are my disciple. The Bible says by love.
tongues. We've got the Holy Ghost. Charismatics didn't get the real thing. We got the real thing. Whoa.
Amen.
Charismatics are lovely.
That's right.
You ought to see them. I saw 20,000 of them recently. That's an approximation. At the St. Paul Civic Center, loving one another. As far as I could see, it was a sea of hands in the air. As far as I could see, not one person failed to raise both hands in worship and praise and adoration unto a God who has forgiven them of their ugliness and their sins.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where are we today, church? Do we want to win the city of Eau Claire for Jesus? We're going to win them by love. We're not going to win them by our pet little dogmas.
That's right.
We're not selling the truth. Never, never. Truth is truth, and truth does not change. That's not the idea. But did you ever invite anyone over for a beautiful steak supper? Beautiful, excuse that. As you can leave it up. A steak supper, and they came, and you went in the freezer and said, we're having steaks tonight. You got out a ice cold, stiff, frozen steak. We're having steak tonight. Here, open your mouth. Knock his teeth loose, cause his lips to bleed, his tongue to bleed. You think he's coming back for steak at your house? Same steak, but that steak needs a little love. That steak needs a little thawing out.
Praise
Amen?
The Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't feed people a frozen word of God. Feed them the warm, tender, loving word of God.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That ye abound in love. More and more. Never a decrease in love. Always an increase in love. Say, do you remember the night that you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Oh, here I come.
Do you remember the night you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the altar? Or the pew or wherever you were? You know what you did? You got up drunk in the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. And it was a sister. And you hugged her, and you went somewhere, and you were just going around loving people.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says happens to you when the Holy Ghost comes in? It says the Holy Ghost is, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto
us.
I have never seen it fail. When anyone has received a genuine experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I've been in their presence, they have always loved.
Right.
Loved. Oh, they love. They just love. Praise the Lord. Real love. Genuine love. Holy Ghost love. Now, Paul says that that love should increase more and more and more. It is never supposed to decrease. Let's read that text again.
First Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it. He commended them. He commended the Thessalonians. He said, indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. And then Paul says, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Wives, go home and love your husbands more today than you did yesterday. Husbands, go home and love your wives more today than you did yesterday. Let there be an increase of love. Go home and read your Bible and love it more than you did last Sunday. Amen. Come to church and love the church more than you did last week or last Friday night. Amen. Let's let our love go on the increase. Praise God. We are taught of God to love one another. There is no danger of deception here. Oh, we have all kinds of false doctrines in the world. And I could list cult after cult, I suppose, or church after church, whatever you want to call them. That's not my manner this morning, just to be picking on other churches or things. That's not my point at all. My point is this.
There are false doctrines going around. There are people coming two by two to your door, and they have something to tell you that is not according to the Word of God. And they're trying to deceive you. But when the Bible says, when Paul says, you are taught of God to love, you don't have to be afraid of any deception there. That is a true doctrine. You are taught of God to love one another. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Holloway, pastor at Marshfield, commended our church yesterday. Remember? He said, you're beautiful people. We've heard about that church in Orlando. And now I see it, and it's just what they said. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what I wish he would have said? I wish he would have said, it's more than they say. Okay, he has, we have visited them. Brother Holloway is going to come here this month or early part of next month and preach for us. He's bringing a quartet with him and other specials, and we're going to have a good time. I hope when he comes here, he can say, brother, church, you have love one for another, but something I noticed is that you have more love this visit than you had last visit. And then when we go there a couple months later again, or a year later, he'll be able to say, I didn't believe it was possible, but you have even more love. Then he comes back here again a couple more years later. This is fantastic. You have even more love than you had then. Is this the way it's supposed to be? Praise the Lord. Well, I hope I have stirred your minds this morning. Shall we stand? But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you. So, if you were alert this morning, you must have noticed that this was no scolding. Amen? What this was an encouragement to do better yet. That's the message of the Lord this morning. He says, indeed, ye do it. You do it. I commend you for doing it, for loving one another. He says, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Oh, saints, let's not love until we see a fault or find a fault in someone. Let's love the sinner into the kingdom. Let's love the saint right into frictionless fellowship. Praise the Lord until we fit together as lively stones and wicked. Amen. Take the piano, darling. Let's sing. bind us together in love. Hold somebody's hand this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Bind us together. Holy.